Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pub.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. And welcome to season 6, episode 3, actually episode 120. You know who I am. I'm Cathy Tate from Australia. With me is Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, hello from the Northern Hemisphere. Good to see you. And I'm super excited to record another episode with you. Number 120. I mean, 120 episodes. That is just absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Thank you too. When I dreamed up wanting a podcast and then wanting a podcast partner and the journey that we have been on together to getting to know each other, to doing this podcast, and it's been over 2 years, I still cannot believe we are in 74 countries. And look, by the time this airs, it could be more, right?
Yes.
We add countries that fast these days. It is just phenomenal. And it fills me with joy to know that this dream I had years ago is now a reality. And I do, with all my heart, wish and believe that our words matter out there to many, many souls and that we are making a difference.
I agree with you. Certainly. We get so beautiful feedback on different channels, sometimes over social media, sometimes as a direct message, sometimes as an email. It is just lovely to hear from you, dear listeners, and it is really filling us and our hearts with joy to see that we make a difference and our work is appreciated. And if you can, please support us, because we do that all with our own means and we put our own time. We volunteer for that, absolutely. But we also have production costs. Please, if you can, support us. We truly need your help.
Yes. And you know what, Daisy? I was going to say the same thing, because this week's episode is about asking for help. And so very humbly, on our behalf, I'm going to ask all of our supporters out there to go over to baldandblonde.live, find the Support Us page, the link is at the top, and please donate a cup of coffee, $5, to us. We would love to have your support. We do have production costs because it is a very professionally produced podcast. Our businesses are supporting us and have been doing so for over 2 years, and we need your help. So please go to baldandblonde.live, click on the Support Us and donate us the cost of a cup of coffee. We would truly appreciate that. If you can support us with more, that would be amazing. But we aren't asking for the moon. We're just asking for what you would spend on any given day as a treat for yourself. And as a thank you for us putting our effort and our time and our resources into this production to share with you the knowledge and skills and experiences that we have gained over the years that we feel is helping change so many lives.
Now, I agree with you. So the episode is called Asking for Help.
It is, Daisy, because I know myself, I struggle sometimes asking for help. And if I struggle with it, and I feel like I do represent a lot of our audience, I am very certain that there are thousands of others out there who also do experience some difficulty asking for help when they need it.
I consider myself belonging to them for a long time. But I became much better because I realized that I cannot do it all by myself. And of course, as we discussed in the past episode, catastrophes, I had a few in my life and I was not able to handle everything by myself. And I very much appreciate for all the help that I received. Some very unexpected helpers and some I felt I can count on and they came through. And then some I thought I could count on and I could not count on them. Now, I think in order for asking for help, it requires a prerequisite, meaning we ourselves can be open for contacts. We can be open for socializing. I understand there are some humans out there, some many humans out there, who feel antisocial, or they just don't want to be around others. They don't want to be in friendships. They don't want to be in groups. They don't want to be in a club. They don't want to be in the neighborhood as a participant actively. I think it is a good idea to understand that we are not souls. We are wishing and longing for company. We are wishing and longing for companionship, not at all times and not everyone. I'm not saying that. But the majority of us are, I so believe, meant to be somewhat social and interactive with others. And the more we can be social and interactive, we practice our own courage to be around others and to interact with them, converse with them, have communications with them. And then the hurdle for asking for help is lower than when we are antisocial and don't have a community or don't have friends or don't have acquaintances. We, worst case scenario or best case scenario, could lean on.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, actually. And it's almost like what we were talking about last episode, do the preparation and the skills training before you actually need what it is we're talking about. And I think it also works here when you talk about that, be open for contact, be open for connection, practice those social skills. Sometimes they can come hard when we haven't been surrounded by a heap of positive people, perhaps, or the influences on us haven't been the greatest. And sometimes we can turn off that connection to feel like we're protecting ourselves. And I think that it can be tough to turn it back on and show that vulnerability that we all have. However, that connection is kind of a key here in not only asking for help, but accepting help.
Well, I think it is a good point to speak about accepting help, because let's face it, are we really less of value when we accept help? Are we not humans, most of us, that enjoy helping? Now, if we don't accept help from others, would that then not mean that we are depriving them of the joy to help us?
That's exactly the next thing I was going to say. It's like you read my mind sometimes, Daisy. Because the other side of receiving is giving. And personally, I know that I get great joy out of helping other people, out of that giving. And yet I struggle so much with the receiving sometimes. And I'm quite aware of that in myself, and I work to try to not be that way, to, as you say, not deprive somebody else of that joy of giving, because it certainly is a wonderful feeling to be able to help others. So why would you possibly want to deprive them of that joy?
Yes, I agree with you. Now, I'd like to clarify, though, if someone helps me, for example, here in the yard, it must not be that I help them as well in their yard. Maybe me being friendly to them and respectful towards them over the years is helping them to feel human, to feel accepted, to feel appreciated. And now they are helping me with their presence and giving me a hand. So let's not underestimate what we are doing on an everyday basis. We'd never know with our behavior who it is helpful to, although we may think, oh, de nada, nothing. But maybe to the others, it may mean the world.
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't think we ever truly know the impact that we have on other people at all, and we cannot underestimate the value of that. And on that note, there's another point I think that needs to be said, is that if somebody can't help or doesn't want to help or is unable to help, we should not take that personally either.
Absolutely. I was at the airport recently and I missed almost my connection flight. And it was absolutely an honest, sincere mistake, that I was not there at the right gate at the right moment when boarding closed. So they already had the plane closed up. They already had removed my luggage off the plane. And I saw myself, oh my goodness, I'm going to be stranded here. What am I going to do in a city I truly don't know anyone yet? That may change when I'm flying there next time. And there were two ladies and they said, no, there's nothing we can do. I said, please, would you try and make a phone call? Would you please try? Would you please communicate with the pilot? Would you try? She said, no, there's not. They will not open the plane one more time. And, you know, this is your fault. And they are ready and delay. And I just kept admitting that it was my fault because it was. It was. How did it really logically happen? That's a different story. But I didn't try to justify and I didn't try to force them. I just stood there and with dignity, asked them for help. Their attitude was anything but nice. They were not very kind, but they made the phone call. Actually, they made about 10 phone calls, and I truly appreciate. And I was so friendly with them because I truly wished for them that if they ever come into a situation where they desperately need help, may that be getting on that plane, or may that be getting still in the store before it closes, or maybe just be there on time, or whatever other help they will be needing during their rest of their lifetime. I wish for them that they will just receive what they helped me.
I think it's an interesting story too, that scenario that you did actually tell me about, this whole nearly missing your plane.
I mean, there's much more yes. to it, but that doesn't belong into
yes, of course. I'm sure it is actually a much longer story. But the point that I am picking up on here and want to talk about is that you were persistent. And you mm-hmm. also said it with a bit of a, I'm taking the blame. It is my fault. So you're admitting that you were part of the problem, but I really need your help. And you're actually, I think it, the way that you say it sometimes it makes a difference to the outcome that you're going to get.
Absolutely.
You know, and a similar thing actually just happened to Mum and they didn't let her on the plane. She actually did miss the flight. And we had to go back to the airport, you know, 12 hours later and get her on another plane, which cost her money. And it was actually my fault because I slept in and I was very apologetic. And there was nothing about that situation really that we could change. But I do know my mum, bless her, and she would not have been as persistent in asking because she isn't as good at asking for help.
Well, I had this one chance because there's only one flight one day in the direction I needed to go. So I didn't want to be stranded there for several reasons, because I also needed to get home because I had appointments and people were waiting for me, luckily, at the airport at my arrival. But what I think is great that you pointed out, because oftentimes I'm not really aware of my behavior and you just saw it. Yes, I was persistent and I was not only persistent in asking them for help, I was persistent in my attitude. I didn't change when they first said, no. I didn't raise my voice. No, I just kept asking the same thing. And I kept telling them that it's an honest mistake. I am human too. It happened to me. And I think that was very important, that many people I know of, they like to blame. Oh, it's the fault of this, or my stupid watch didn't work, or my phone didn't ring, or the lady at the lounge didn't call me on time, or the cab driver's fault, or my wife upset me and she kept me on the phone, or your display wasn't correctly enlightened, whatever that might be. The moment when we start justifying whatever we are asking for, it is somewhat changing that energy. I can justify I need your help because I really need to get on that plane. But that's not a justification. The moment I would have said, yeah, because of this, because of that, because here, because there, and I maybe dripped and I maybe dropped, or maybe I've slipped, or maybe I fell, whatever that is. That moment I'm losing. Just sincerely remaining with the facts. Now, when I need help, that's also be realistic here. When I would use that, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help, and just like a broken record, would repeat that over and over, sooner or later, then people may think that, oh, she always needs help, which is not the case. But when I'm asking for help, you can take it as a guarantee that I truly need help. Because it's not just a slogan that I'm throwing around because it sounds good or it sounds cute or whatever people may think. And let's face it, I think it is absolutely okay to ask for help. Why? Because we're humans and the lifespan, of course, is different for every single one of us, how long we will be here on this planet. I truly believe that everyone was already in a situation where they were in need of help. If they asked for it or if they received it is a different story, but they were in need of help. And when we just face that it's part of life, then we can become more friendly with it. It becomes more natural. Nothing wrong with asking for help.
Where do you think the reluctance to ask for help actually comes from?
I believe that some people who are suffering assholitis and are full of shittylitis, may have responded to someone who was seeking help in a way that was rather unfriendly or diminishing or maybe even condescending. And that may have registered within them that, oh, it's not a good thing to ask for help. Now, there is a psychological test out there. I forgot the name they gave the experiment, where it is more likely that people will help you when you first ask them a favor. So when you ask them, hey, can you watch my bag here for a moment? And then you ask them a bigger thing, that's more likely than that they will help you. So it's interesting. Usually also people consider one more trustworthy when they're asked for help. Interesting, right? Because when I'm asking you for help, Kathy, that means that I'm extending you some sort of or an amount of trust. Otherwise, why would I ask you? So actually, it's already a compliment. I'm not aware of the study's name. I forgot.
That's an interesting study. And I've heard of a different kind of study, more to do with sales, actually, that when you are wanting to get someone to buy maybe a service or a product and you're having a conversation with them, the more times you can get them to say yes to something else in the preceding conversation is the higher likeliness that they will end up purchasing what it is that you're wanting to sell. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a very similar psychological reaction or however we're explaining that. So I can certainly see how that experiment comes out. Now, I love what you just said. You just said that even asking someone for help is extending them part of your trust.
Mm-hmm. Is not that the case?
I absolutely think it is. And I think that that's a really great way of looking at it. And I can also see that this might be the point where it feels very vulnerable for people and might be part of that reluctance because they have trouble trusting.
I'm not surprised because the number of trustworthy people is seemingly decreasing. Nevertheless, I'd like to inspire to be the trustworthy one, to be more and more trustworthy, to trust yourself first and then behave with trust. Therefore, you will become a trustworthy human. Now, the conditioning of asking for help and that being a bad thing, I know of husbands who consider their wives as nagging because they're asking for help. I know of husbands who are called a couch potato when they're asking for help because they're desperately in need for another beer or another potato chips bag. But let's just face it, when we are asking for help, I'm talking about sincerely asking for help. Not like, okay, so let me spam someone, but like sincerely. Look, I need your help. And actually, that's the reason why I called you the other day when I believed I'm still 6 hours apart from you. And I was so happy that it was only noon my time. And I thought, okay, let me call you. It's only 6 p.m. your time. And I forgot that I'm in a different time zone. Well, that happens when you travel different time zones. So I wanted to ask you for help. Now, believe me that I tried everything to solve it without asking for help. It was not a convenience act. But when I cannot find the solution by myself, what is wrong then asking for help? And now I can justify why I needed your help, because I had someone clean up my computer and I don't find a thing. I was present when they cleaned up my computer, and now I think I lost some files, or I don't know, and I needed a file that I wanted to email somewhere. So what's wrong about it? The moment when I feel still valuable as a human being, because why would my value diminish by asking for help? How? So you ask for help and then there's a minus button on and you're decreasing in value, in weight, in beauty, in age. Maybe in age, that wouldn't be a bad thing for some people. But you see, the question is, where does it come from? My soul thinking, I could be totally wrong. I've been wrong before and I will be again. Part of life. I'm human too. I believe it comes from the response of other people who were not capable of, not willing to, or simply not available to help. And that's okay. They have their reasons and they don't need to justify why they don't help.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. When I think about my own experience, I feel like some of the times I have finally asked for help and I've been refused have made me feel very rejected. And I have taken it personally in the past. And therefore, that has made me not want to ask again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think perhaps that's common.
Very, very. Now, I have that situation sometimes when it comes to technical questions that I don't have a solution to, because I'm very tech savvy in many, many areas. And then there are some that I just don't use and not utilize. And therefore, I'm asking questions. And I have somebody in my circle who I like to ask, because he's the to-go human, because he has the answers most of the time. And sometimes he feels really annoyed because I'm asking again something. And maybe a year ago, I may have asked something similar or maybe even the same thing. And their response is then, oh, so now I need to explain it again, or whatever their attitude is. I know my attitude has to do with me. Their attitude has to do with them. And I made it very clear. I said, look, if I did not need your help, do you truly believe I would ask you and put myself through that the way you're responding to me?
Yes, and I think that that shows that the way we respond to those people that do ask for help is also really, really important, and we should touch on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, from what we've already said, that definitely has an impact on the person asking, and it might have a much greater impact than you even realize it has.
I agree. Now, here's the thing. When someone rejects helping me or helping you, because you brought it up that you asked for help and it felt to you as if you were rejected, somebody rejecting your request for help does not mean they reject you. They reject your request. If someone is asking me, let's say at the shopping center, if I was able to, or if I would be willing to push back their shopping cart, and if my hands are empty and I'm going this way, or I'm not in a rush, or I can afford the extra time to do that, I will say most likely yes. If I cannot fulfill that, I will kindly tell them I can't at this point in time. Be sincere, not justify. Oh, because I need to rush to the dentist and then my dog and my cat and oh, my parrot and my grandma and my uncle and the neighbor. And no. No justification needed. When you say yes, when someone asks you for help, you don't need to justify why. When you say no, you don't need to justify why. When I ask for help, I may bring some reasoning into it and share what's the reason I need this help, or how did I end up in this situation. I may explain, but not justify, and keep it short. Nobody really likes to listen to the endless story over and again, or the self-pity description of a situation that we're in. Look, I truly believe that everyone, every single human, can end up in a situation where they desperately need help, more or less desperately. So let's handle those who are in the situation asking for help, or maybe not directly asking for help, Because now here's a confusion that oftentimes leads to a no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. If I'd call you, Kathy, and ask you, oh, you know, it would be so great if you could send me some files. Oh, it would be so kind of you. I so enjoy receiving emails from you. I so like it when I receive a notification that something appeared in the Dropbox. How do you know what I really mean? But when I tell you, please, can you send me file 22/B/-17, just as an example, then you may say, yeah, let me have a look. Or you say, Daisy, not now, maybe next week or next moon or next year or never. But the more precisely I'm asking what I need help with, I do increase the chances to receive help. And let's not assume that humans in a busy life are mind readers. They are not.
Yes.
Not even those who pretend to be.
Yes, absolutely correct on that one. And I think that that is a big piece of this puzzle, is being clear in your communication, as always. And I see this in business all the time. The majority of time when an employee leaves a business, it is because there's been a breakdown in communication somewhere. Mm-hmm. It has such a huge impact in all areas of our life. And if you have not listened to our episode on communication, do that now.
You can find it on the baldandblonde.life website in the search button in the top menu, top right.
Go, Daisy. Absolutely, you can. Mm. And I think that that is really important. I'm glad that you brought that up. Be clear about what it is you need, what it is you're asking for from the other person, so they can be clear about whether they're capable of doing that for you at that time, or maybe they could do it later and maybe that will work for you, or maybe they can't do it at all, but they could recommend somebody else who can.
There you go.
There are other solutions. Let's not take it as a rejection of ourselves, as I know I have done in the past, and I'm sure many of our listeners out there possibly have done so as well, not understanding the concept, not understanding that rejecting a request is not a rejection of you and your value. And let's not get that mixed up. I think that's really important. And I think that's a great place to end this conversation. Do you have any final words, Daisy?
Yes, I do. I admit that it took me a long time to ask for help, but I truly see that now we, as a podcast, we desperately need help. And I wouldn't say it if it wasn't the case.
Yes, you're quite right. And I also have struggled with this because self-promotion feels a little bit uneasy sometimes. But Daisy and I genuinely and humbly are asking for your support. Listeners, please go to baldandblonde.live to the Support Us page and give what you can. We super appreciate it. We have been supporting this podcast for over 2 years with our own businesses, and we now need your help. And we are genuinely asking from our hearts. If you cannot help us at this time, that is okay. But if you are able to, we would be very, very grateful.
Mm. Very interesting that I now see there's nothing wrong with receiving help when we produce so much value on a weekly basis. And I just leave it at that. I'm totally at peace with it.
Absolutely. So that's it from us today, guys. We hope that this has given you some insight into your own behavior and attitude, as it has for us. We'll see you again next week with another amazing episode. And in the meantime, visit us at baldandblonde.live. Don't forget, we love hearing from all of you, and we encourage you to share our episodes with all of your family and friends, and maybe they'll be able to support us too. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.